And we're here on this week's edition of the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio, Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk opening weekend Lions season. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown. Hello.
Overreaction Monday is starting today, which is the first week, first Monday of the season. Everybody's overreacting, so we might as well get it out the way first, get it in, and then we can really talk about what we saw yesterday in the Lions 38-35 defeat to the Philadelphia Eagles. Mike O'Hare, what was the crowd like? Was it exciting?
It really was, you know, and right from start to finish, Kenny, because there were things happening from start to finish. You know, when the Lions went, 75 yards on 9 plays to a touchdown, the crowd is just absolutely going ape-kazing. It was just great. And then at the end when they're making the comeback. So, they, you know, that was a big crowd, 64,000 plus. And they were there to watch their Detroit Lions, the fans. And they got a good show. They just didn't get the ending they want.
No. And like I said, I had predicted a loss today. Yesterday I predicted a loss. And it wasn't surprising, but I wanted to see a few things. And we'll get into it as we go on. To let me know what I'm gonna be seeing this season, so we'll get into that. But it was similar and dissimilar to last year's first game against the 49ers, where the Lions got down big, made a late comeback, and made it close. This year seemed a little different than last year's first game. Because last year's first game, they never were really in that game.
Yeah, Ken, you're right about that. And there's one big difference, I think. That rally last year. Came like in the last 5 minutes with a couple of, you know, recoveries
and onside
kick and all that. This was, you know, got to stop, drive to a touchdown, got to stop, drive to a touchdown, stuff like that. They couldn't get the third stop that they needed, though. And that's, to me, this is more on the defense than it is on the offense, and really by a large margin. This was the one part of the team that I thought was going to get better. I thought it would be an offensive-driven team primarily. But I thought the defense would be better, and I don't see any evidence of it. Now, overreaction Monday, I'm just telling you what I saw with my own two eyes.
I saw a better defense. I mean, I saw a little different. I saw a better defense, but you can't tell by 38 points or 31 points if you want to count, you know, how many were actually scored on.
31
yeah,
points.
Yeah, but you can't tell, but I saw a better defense. Now, if it's a difference between Phyllis Diller and Marilyn Monroe, difference? No. Or is it a difference between Phyllis Diller and, you know, Rosie O'Donnell? I mean, you know, we're talking a difference here, but I did see a difference. So that's why, and I swear I use three of the oldest names ever. But I swear from this point on, I will update my analogies for you people out there.
Just a second. Marilyn Monroe was my woman.
Yeah.
I knock it off.
Well, that's what I knew if you got it, then I knew I was in trouble. So I will update my analogy from this point on. I'm sorry. But I saw a deep – look, first of all, the way that Philadelphia plays and the quarterback they play with, you're not going to face another one of those guys maybe until Thanksgiving where Josh Allen is playing. So it's a whole different way you got beat by a quarterback than a conventional quarterback or, you know, a guy who runs a little bit. So I got to take what I saw out of that. But I did see an aggressive defense. I saw aggressive play calling. I didn't see them out of position. I saw, like the Minnesota-Green Bay game yesterday, you just saw Jefferson just wide open on plays. You didn't see that during this Lions game.
Guys running free.
You didn't see that.
You know, I was obviously at Ford Field writing, and I didn't get to see – really any of the games, just saw some highlights last night and a few this morning. And, yeah, you're right, guys running free. But, look, listen, the bottom line is, Kenny, you have to make the plays. But there were some catches on contested plays. Now, the one to me, the most disturbing one to me was the – I think it was the first touchdown by the Eagles, or maybe the second one, but a goal to go at the one-yard line, and a walk-in touchdown for the quarterback – for Hurts,
yeah,
walk in touchdown. He walked the last three steps. It was almost a defiant. Hey, you can't touch me.
Right.
Absolutely no excuse for that. None.
Yeah, but I think that was just a good play against a defense that wasn't prepared for that.
It was a blown assignment.
Or was it just that they once he broke that contain and there was just nobody there?
Well, there was nobody there. Malcolm Rodriguez bid on the play-action fake, And wham, the guy got a pretty good lick in, but that left that lane wide open.
Yeah.
But you could tell when they were lined up. You could see them kind of pointing at each other and looking back. And I don't think they were quite, and I don't think they were quite where they should have been. But I just, to me, like I'm kind of stuttering here over it. I just don't think there's any excuse for what happened. I mean, you're going to get beat. That happens. But you just can't give it away like that.
Right. Well, that play was from what, the 1 or 2 yard line?
Yeah, right.
Okay, right. They had traversed.
This is a hell of an athlete.
Right,
too,
but they had traversed all the way down there. It wasn't like they were stopping them to that point. So I agree with what you're saying. But the things I saw that I liked defensively, even though, like you said, they were just.
No, there were things to like in that game.
Yeah.
They didn't get a sack.
I saw pressure from the front four, even though they didn't get a sack. From the first play of the game, Hutchinson just blows in, but he misses Hurts, and he does whatever he does. I saw pressure from the front four. I saw cornerbacks competing for balls. I didn't see the safeties getting burned over the top and late because I don't think the one pass to Hurts, it might be a couple of plays, they went deep on the Lions. I think most passes were intermediate or whatever. And I saw energy on defense, which is all good. The rest you can correct. Now, they have a talent deficiency. There's some spots out there that you know they need to improve on. And I think they will. Like you said, they're the second youngest team or third youngest team in the league. And I just think that I saw things to improve on, and I like what I saw energy-wise and scheme-wise.
Well, it was the one big throw down the right sideline when Will Harris went in. After Okuda went out, I believe he went out briefly, and they just targeted him. They saw a guy that they knew they could beat or thought they could beat, and right down the right sideline for 30 or 35 yards, whatever it was. It was a good play call, a good reaction to what they saw, and a really well delivered throw.
Well, that's the part of it too. It was a well delivered throw, Mike. That ball's not, if it's not well delivered, Will Harris is right with the guy running with him. You know,
but you got to make the play.
I'm just saying, though, sometimes great players and great plays are made. And the quarterback made a great throw, and the wide receiver, obviously, by the contract he got and by the bounty they had to give up to get A.J. Brown, is a good player. I mean, by what Philadelphia gave up and what they paid him. So, you know, he's a good player. So that was, to me, that was just great player making great play.
Well, and I'll I don't disagree entirely with you. I want guys to make plays, but as Chris Spielman, I used to do a video with him here at DetroitLions.com. What he would have said was, "Good coverage, great catch, great beats, good."
Yeah, there you go. And you're playing the backup. If Akuda's in the game, which there's a discrepancy, either he was out for cramps or he was out because they were managing his time. Both were told during yesterday's game, so I don't know which one is the truth. If Akuda's in there, does he make the play?
No evidence that he wouldn't, because I thought he played a really
strong
good,
game. Strong game.
And the one thing about him, even the little bit that he played, nine games 2 years ago, one half last year, he's always been willing to sacrifice his body, get in there. I mean, he's an absolute hitter. He really is.
Yeah.
He's got speed. He's got length. He's got hands. Look, ultimately, if he holds together, I think they've got a good player there. It's just too bad for him, too bad for the team and the organization that they had to wait until his third year to get it on the field and keep it there. Now, we'll see what happens going forward.
Well, like I told you, if we can get 11, 12 starts out of him this year and he plays competently, that's all I can ask for him this year. I'm not asking for Deion. That's what I'm asking for. I mean, I'm sure everybody else wants more. I just want to get a good year out of him, stay healthy, and learn the position because he's like, this is basically a second year to him, or even basically it's still a first year. He played, what, 8 the first year and 1 last year, so he's not even played a full season yet.
Well, I don't agree with 11 games. I think you want 17 games. If you're saying 11 games and you're predicting he's going
to
get hurt.
No, I said what I want. Why can't I get what I want? Why do I have to
depend
to your theory of how many games? I see 11 out of them, I'm happy.
You're wrong and I'm helping.
No, I'm just saying what makes me happy, Mike. I'm a simple man. What makes me happy is a little bit less than what makes you happy. I just want to get 11 out of them.
Why would you want to? So what happens to the next 6 games?
No, that's the minimum. No, that's my minimum. 11. If he gets 11 healthy starts in, that's my minimum. Anyway, forget about that. He did make 10 tackles, which means he's well. Now, on the flip side of that,
And one pass breakup, too.
Right. Yeah. And a bogus pass interference call that should not have been made. I thought that was a good play.
But it was wiped out by an illegal.
I know, but I just thought it was. I just thought it was a good play.
But that hurt the Lions too, because that would have taken one down away from them.
Yep. Tracy Walker's got to be smarter.
He's got to be smarter.
First of all, he's
a captain, Kenny.
Go ahead, Mike. We're all on the same page. You look like you're going to make a roll. Go ahead with your roll, and then I'll just.
Well, here's my point. First of all, you don't do it because you're a veteran player.
For people that didn't see the play, let me set it up there. I thought you were going to set it up in your soliloquy there. But for the people that didn't see it, Hurst was running around the end, and he goes into a slide. Tracy kind of spears him.
He roughs him up,
but he like dove head first. I don't know what he was trying to do. If he was trying to get him around the shoulders or get him a good shot on him, but he kind of headshotted him. And then after that, the Philadelphia two players got upset about it and they went over to him and grabbed him. And Tracy, in his anger, throws a punch or a slap at one of the players, rejecting two penalties. He got the one for the head. Then he gets the second personal foul, which means he gets thrown out. Now you go ahead.
He should know even better. You can't even slap a guy at the Academy Awards. The Oscars. Who do you think he is? What is this, Men in Black 3?
Yeah, but you got to keep your head on that.
Sure.
You got to keep your head. And I thought he was playing well at that point. Man, he led the team in tackles, but I also thought he was playing well. I thought the back end was going to be a problem going in that game, and I didn't see it yesterday from the safeties.
Well, I agree with you, Kenny. I thought they played okay. I don't think the defense played. I don't think it played well. I would give it like a C- or something like that. But I understand what you're saying. They're not going to see this type of quarterback. But you know what? That's what preparation is for. That's what scouting is for. That's what putting together game plans are for. I'm sure that the Eagles aren't just going to run up 455 yards on every team they face this year because they run the ball with a quarterback. Someone's going to adjust.
But they had that same problem with Mariota in that first preseason game. That's why I kind of saw this coming. And I'm going to tell you where the problem is. I don't even have to watch film of this. And the problem is the guy next to McNeil. That other tackle.
Brockers, whoever it is.
Right now, that's you're stirring up that middle, firming up that middle. Brockers didn't have a stat yesterday. He didn't have a stat. He's not even on the score sheet if you look at it.
Well, I looked at it. I didn't look for him. I looked for
You don't have to look for him because he's not on there. He did nothing.
Well, if I look for him and I don't find him, what am I supposed to do?
He did nothing. And you can't have that out of that position.
You can't have nothing.
So that's a problem. I'm sorry, Mike. In 2 years he's been here. Maybe he's a leader inside the building or whatever. I haven't seen anything out of him. And they gave him a new contract. I just haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything. And like I said, maybe he's a veteran and they may need him out there, but – you got to start rotating some guys in that are going to do something. I mean, to me.
Well, look, there's no shortage of rotating, I'll tell you that. I mean, look at Bugs got in there and made a
play. That's right.
Got his hand up and just batted it down.
That's right.
Like Will Chamberlain to me.
Made a play. So I want to see more out of that position. He played 28 snaps, Brockers did yesterday, and 28 meaningless snaps. He did nothing.
28 out of 76, I think.
They did 76 was the total. Aurier played the most. He played every snap.
Well, that's pretty common for the cornerbacks to play every snap.
Walker would have played every snap. He wouldn't have got thrown out.
Yeah, that's still. I don't want to harp on that, but I guess I will. You can't have that. You really can't.
No, not at that time.
Well, you know what? He knows that. He's not going to get suspended, from what you hear.
Right.
They'll probably get a $15,000 fine, something like that.
Now, my second player I got problems with. Now, I'm not even going to have a problem with Stenberg. I don't have a problem with Stenberg's first start.
Well, he had two off starts, and on the
interception, he missed the guy, which probably related to Goff throwing it faster than he should have or whatever happened.
Receiver broke in, he threw it out. And my experience has been, Kenny, that it's almost every time it's the player's fault, not the quarterback's. The quarterbacks know what's going on. And so I'm quite sure it was the receiver's fault.
Oh, probably. But I was just saying that maybe if the guy's not rushing him, because there was nobody else coming in on that play, that maybe he might have been able to hold it up or something. And he might have saw him break.
But you throw on rhythm, the ball's in the air.
But you're throwing because the guy's coming, right? Isn't that the play was like if it's a blitz or he's getting rushed, right? Isn't that the play?
Well, he's supposed to be on time.
Yeah.
That's the receiver's fault.
Yeah.
The
so anyway, that was the only Stenberg things that I saw that stood out. Other than that, I thought he was adequate. I thought the offensive line was the best part of the team, and the running back were the best parts of the offense.
Well, the running game. Well, remember what the offensive coordinator said, you know, 2-3 months ago when it started training camp. We're going to be a good running football team, running team. And he's right.
Yeah.
They are good.
They are good, and they know they're good.
And they showed it now, and you know, they should.
They know they're good.
You know what? They've got three good runners there, too. They really do. Three guys who fill a role.
And the guy and the lineman we talked about the least, to me, was probably the best lineman yesterday, Jonah Jackson.
I was going to agree with you. Yeah, he has come on. He really has.
Got that Pro Bowl in him now. And like I said.
Well, and listen, one thing, I think what this kid showed in college – has carried over to the NFL, and that was that he had another year of eligibility left after 4 years at Rutgers, and he took that fifth year at Ohio State. And his reason was, number one, he wanted to play meaningful games that meant something, and number two, practice against the best players in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Look what it turned out to be, a tremendous football player.
So,
not good, tremendous.
Right. And again, let's preface this one thing with the defensive line, even though they didn't have any sacks and – they pressured a little, but no sacks. They were going up against probably the second-best offensive line in the league. Philadelphia has a real good offensive line.
Well, yeah, Lane Johnson, most guys aren't going to beat him. And a rookie, we'll see what Aiden Hutchinson becomes in his career. Let's not throw him to the wolves just yet. But he's not going to beat Lane Johnson. I'm sorry. It's the way it is now. Remember when Ziggy Ansah had 4 sacks on him on Thanksgiving Day?
Yeah.
That should be one for the record books.
Yeah, he wasn't a rookie, though, when that happened, though, was he?
No, I don't think either one was.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were the same year they came out, the same year, too, right?
Right, they came out. Right. Yeah. Lane Johnson
was 4, and then Zeke was 5,
four
I think.
4 or 5, something like that. And
now.
Ezekiel.
Now, who I have a problem with.
Oh, here we go. Do I have to listen to this?
Hawkinson's got to be better. He's got to be better.
I agree with
you. I told you, and we said this last week, and I told you I was disappointed in him for having talent to be a top 5 tight end. And right now, I put him in the middle of the pack of tight ends and trending down. His blocking is awful.
Can you say it's awful after they ran for 200 yards? How can you say that?
It wasn't him. It wasn't him.
Well, he's part of it.
Yeah, but there was they might have had 300 with him. It was a couple of plays where his guy was
logical.
The one. His guy was the one that kept big games going. I mean, he's.
And I don't agree with that at all. I think he's more than adequate.
No, he's not. He's not. And he's playing average. He after the first game of his career where he went over 100 that Arizona game. Where 100 yards, what do you have, 140 yards? He had almost a tight end record for first games and all the expectations after that. He just hasn't lived up to it. Has not lived up to it.
I think you're selling him short, but I don't think he's quite what I thought he would be or what he could be or should be.
And there's still time to do it.
I don't think he's quite dynamic enough. Now, I don't expect him to be a guy who's going to be running through people and all that because every player has his style of play, but I'd like to see him more dynamic than he is because he's got tools.
He's got the tools. I want to see it. I want to see it. On a game like yesterday where Goff is terrible in the first half, he should be the safety valve. He should get 2 or 3, 4 catches in that first half.
You can only be the safety valve if they throw it to you. Look, they went 3 and out, 3 straight. Here's a little stat for you, okay? The first possession of the Detroit Lions had yesterday, 9 plays, they went 75 yards. Okay, are you with me?
I hear you.
First possession. Possessions 2, 3, and 4, they went 3 and out in all 3 of them, ran 9 plays and gained a total of 7 yards.
I hear you.
From 9 plays and 75 yards to 9 plays on 3 possessions, and 7 yards. That put him in the hole.
I hear you. But also, Mike, when you throw it to him and you run the wrong route, then that's one that you didn't get.
Yeah, just can I just clear up one other thing too? I know Goff has taken a lot of heat for that one ball that he threw out of bounds. The snap came up a count early. None of the offensive linemen reacted to it. He would have gotten sacked. That's why he threw the ball away.
I don't think anybody was giving him slack on it. Everybody saw what happened.
Well, now they know.
Most people saw what happened.
Not most.
And I'm gonna give Goff slack this week because he didn't play in the preseason. He played that one series or that one game and hadn't played since the first game. And I give him slack that the rust had to knock off. And I think that's the trade-off you have when you don't play guys during the preseason, is that it's going to take them time to warm up to the NFL once they start playing. So that was a organizational slow start. That wasn't a golf slow start. That was an organizational slow start.
Completely disagree with you, but I don't really buy it, because you look around the league and some teams are tuned up and ready to go, and others aren't. It takes longer. But look, they were good enough to score 35 points. That's why I don't buy it. The running game, which really relies so much on precision, just to get the guy through the hole, let alone on his way down the field. I just don't buy that. Plus, they had the two practices against.
Yeah, but Mike, the team that came out and played, the team that came out and played the most, their quarterbacks played a little bit during the preseason. I know you don't, but you're just wrong. Look at some of the people that had bad games. Stafford didn't play at all preseason. Goff started slow because he didn't play. I'm just saying. I'm just giving you the players that didn't play a lot, didn't have good games. I just think Goff was a little off because he hadn't played.
I just don't agree with that, Kenny. I really don't.
What was the day? September 11th? Yesterday was the 11th, right?
Well, here's what I think. Whether you play in the preseason or not, I think it takes you a couple of games to establish your identity of what you are, regardless of how much or how little you play in the preseason.
All I'm saying is it was September 11th yesterday. That Atlanta game was August. It was August 1st, I believe, or the August 5th. I'm just saying when it was. Like, when the last time he was on the field? I'm not talking about practices. When was the last time he was on an NFL field?
Kenny, the intensity on those practices is higher. I was there. I saw them. Look, those are higher than a.
They could be intense, Mike, but they're still not a game.
Oh.
So that's all I'm saying. And we'll let it go because we're going to disagree with that. We'll let it go because I don't want to spend a half an hour winning my argument with you.
You know what? I think you have finally agreed that I'm right about
it. I don't want to spend half an hour.
This is your way of giving up. Thank you very much.
Some of the grades have come through while we just started the show, but they just came through.
Grades.
Rodrigo was rated the highest defender yesterday.
Wait, who's grade?
I think these are PFF grades, the grading of the game.
Well, I want to know who they are.
I said Rodrigo. I don't have it right in front of me, but Rigo was graded highest.
I think it was
PFF. I just told you that.
I think.
I'm not positive. But he was.
You know, when you say I think, it makes me worry.
Well, just put it like this. One of the rating organizations graded Rodriguez, for those who don't know why they call him Rodrigo, as the highest rated defender. And I thought for a first-year guy, first start, he did some good things. I saw that.
I'd agree with you. And here's one thing, too, and I'm writing about this for tomorrow at DetroitLions.com. You know, Brad Holmes, the Lions GM, and Dan Campbell, the head coach, when young guys are ready to play, they play them. That's what they drafted them for. And it doesn't matter where you were drafted. A perfect example of that is that Aiden Hutchinson, drafted second overall in the first round, played, I think, 69 snaps, was it? 67 snaps. And here's this kid in the sixth round, drafted 188th overall, played, I think, 47 or 48 snaps at linebacker and almost 20 more on special teams. When you're ready to play, they don't care where you came from.
No.
They'll play you.
But then again, I still go back to, I think it was Parcells that said, every rookie you start, that's a loss for a season.
You know what, Kenny? I think it was different in those days, though. I think it's changed. Because other teams are are playing them too. I think it's different. I really do. I remember they used to hear say the same thing in college about you lose a game for every sophomore you start. That's when freshmen weren't eligible. I think that's changed. I really do.
All right. Now, one thing I did want to tell you, and I'm again check the former podcast out. Looking at Jalen Hurts yesterday makes me even more furious now that they did not take Malik Willis in that second round. He is exactly
the third round.
No, I would have took him in the second round. He wasn't there in the third round. He wouldn't have been there for the third round pick. I'm just saying, for that second round pick, that Josh Pascoe pick, which I'm going to wait and see what happens with him. I'm not going to sit here and kill it right now. But what I would have done, again, a quarterback that can move with his feet and throw, man, come on. And that's what you saw with Jalen Hurts yesterday is what Willis can be. And you can't tell me you wouldn't give a second round pick to have that on your squad, even as a backup.
Look, you're arguing to a guy who predicted that the Detroit Lions would take him with the last pick in the first round. So your anger cannot be directed at
you. It's not directed at you.
I don't really agree with you, but I put him there. I put him, and then in my final mock draft, I had him going 14th to Carolina.
Right. And like I said, he may never become the player that I think he is. But my point being, you got Williams and you got Hutchinson in the first round. Take the chance in the second round. What do you got to lose?
Good job.
You wouldn't have lost because your second round picks the last 2 years aren't playing now. So if you haven't lost your job yet, Willis not playing wouldn't have did anything to you. Brad Holmes hasn't had a healthy second round pick yet to play. We're still waiting.
Well, that's not exactly right. Ozarike played last year. He was hurt the whole year.
Let me repeat the question, the word
he
I said
played.
Again. Let me repeat the quote. A healthy second round pick. Remember how I said the word healthy in there? A healthy second round pick has yet to play.
You know, you've said so many things in this half hour, but I tuned out on that one just to rest my ears.
And the position we're talking about with Brockers, gee, who would be playing that if he wasn't playing? My, it would be last year's second-round pick. But he can't play because he's on injured reserve.
Well, he's on some designation. Is it injured reserve?
Yeah, he's on injured reserve.
There's so many of those now.
Like I said, I'm giving it the season because I didn't predict a victory yesterday anyway, and I still had him winning anywhere between 7 to 9 games, 8 or 9 games.
Well,
I think I said 9 last week.
My pick for yesterday was 27-26 Lions, but at least I had him covering the spread. So
yeah,
that was
a fallacy from the beginning.
No, it wasn't fallacy. I was close. And by the way, the Detroit Lions are 1.5 favorites over Washington.
It's gone up to 2. It's gone up to 2.
Up to 2. I'm going to hang up. I'm going to hang up and get down to the MGM Grand.
Now. Finally, I want to talk about this before we end today. Coaching.
Yeah.
Couple of plays during coaching. I don't have a problem. I'm not one of those micromanagers and coach blah, 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 and time clock manager. I know a couple of my friends in the media are, whose names I won't mention. But there were a couple of plays I wanted your question mark on. One was when they ran that third down play before the two-minute warning. Should they have just waited to the two-minute warning? It was a third and one or whatever.
Let it go.
Should he have called the timeout right after that, after they scored, and then Philadelphia got sacked or something on second? It was 2nd and 14. Should he have called that timeout there to try to save time or just let the clock run out?
The sack came after the bad snap from center, I think, didn't it?
I don't remember what it was. I know it was 2nd and 14, and they called timeout instead of – it wasn't 3rd and 14. It was 2nd and 14.
Yeah.
But I think right after that, that was the big play from Hare from to Jay, to Brown from Hurt. Right after that timeout, and they got three out of it, so it did cost them three. Now, would Philadelphia have still done it anyway on the next play? It had the big run because Philly. Remember, once they got the big play to Brown, they ran about two or three more plays before they kicked the field goal. So they were still time. It wouldn't have been
time. Yeah.
So
they had time.
What did you think of those?
There was another one you didn't mention too, and that was the onside kick. That was the one I liked the least, but. There has to be a way you play, and if that's the way they play, if they take chances, then that's their style of play. But I, I didn't agree with that at all, the onside kick. The other one, and the one with the timeout at the 2-minute warning, let it run. Just let it run.
Yeah, let it run. Dan's got to get better at that. I think that's the one flaw in his game. And I don't know if it's emotional or if it's just that right now he knows that he's doesn't have the talent of other teams and he just wants to try to stay competitive and he'll take more chances. And then when he has a better team, he won't. I haven't read him yet to see exactly why he does what he does. But he needs to back off sometime on the aggressiveness.
I think the bottom line to me is that he's covering for his defense.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's a hard way to play. I think it's easier if your defense is covering for your offense.
Right.
I don't have any statistics to back that up, but it just seems to me it would be an easier way to go. But look, they've got work to do defensively, and they better get it done in a hurry because if they get into another one of those skids, like, you know, where they're 0-3, 0-4, 1-5, something like that, it's so dreary. It really does. It's almost exhausting.
Well, that's why, and this is going to end our talk this week. This Washington Commanders game to me is, I know it's only the second game of the season, but this is an important game for that standpoint because I give you the first week, you played a better team. Matter of fact, you played a team that's probably going to win that division, for sure is going to win the division now that Prescott's hurt, and probably be one of the better teams in NFC. So I'm going to give you that game. But the next week against a team that just got a new nickname, and is not that great with a quarterback that the last team didn't want and the team before that they got him from didn't want, you got to impose your will. This is the time now where you say, okay, and it's a home game. Start protecting your home against a average to substandard team. This is why I want to see this week's game. This week's game will tell me more about the team than the first game.
No, I agree with you, Kenny. Now, about the team and changing its nickname. The Detroit Tigers didn't do too well against the Cleveland Guardians, so I don't know.
Well, they did, though. They did.
Well, they did.
Last game of the year would have decided the series, and they were winning it in seven. So they played the Guardians better this year than they played the Indians last year.
So there is hope.
There is hope.
Okay.
There is hope.
What about the Cavaliers? Are we going to take them over, too?
No, we don't want them. Dan Gilbert, you can keep them. So we'll see this week. Washington, like I said, to me, there, and Chase Young's not playing at defensive end, so we'll see what goes on. And the Michigan haters for Adrian Hutchinson not having a big game yesterday, that's okay.
No, he didn't.
I thought he played well. I just didn't think sacks.
No,
to me,
he didn't play well.
I thought he was aggressive out there. You did see him flying around. It wasn't like the tackle just taking him all down the field and he disappeared. I thought he was active, and I thought he stayed active the whole game. So, like I said, maybe the stat sheet didn't show it, but I thought he played well for a first game. I'm not saying he played great. I thought he played well enough, and I think that you're going to see better days out of him.
Well, I think we'll see better days out of him. There's plenty of room to –
He wasn't Brockers. Like I said, if you're going to talk about Adrian Hutchinson, you better start talking about Brockers when you start talking about Adrian Hutchinson. I don't hear that.
All right. I think we've finished.
All right. We won't even take predictions on next week's game. Do you see any adds or additions this week? Because usually this is when the veterans can come in now after the first week or whatever. You see the Lions doing any additions or subtractions this week?
Any signings.
You know, there's some guys out there. Like, if you want to tackle, I know a tackle that used to play with Nebraska that's out there tweeting he wants to be the coach in Nebraska, but I see him out there, and he's not playing right now.
Well, there's a reason for that, too.
There's
a reason guys aren't playing.
I know, but of course, he finished the year playing good, so it's not like –
you mean Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah, I'm talking about Sue. Who you think I was talking about?
I'd sign Sue in a minute.
Well, who you think I was talking about?
With you, it could have been anybody.
Well, I said he put out a tweet today he wants to be the next coach in Nebraska.
Well, if he wants to be the next coach in Nebraska, why would you sign him to play?
That's what I'm saying. You still got some playing left in you, man. Forget about coaching.
That was a great football player.
Well, like I said, there's a guy that's out there, and you know it's only going to cost you money.
Well, yeah, right, right.
It's only going to cost you money.
I'm with you.
So,
and as we all know, Sue likes money.
That's right, exactly. Lots of it, and he likes it on time. So, all right, Mike, that's it for the K&M Podcast this week. We'll see it again next week as we go with the 0-1 Lions as they go to Ford Field for the Washington Commanders, trying to even it up. Like I said, after the first month, I want to see 2-2. I said if they're 2-2 after the first month, they're in business. And that Minnesota game just got a little rougher.
A little rougher. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, all right, Mike, that's it.
All right. Say good night.
Say good night, Sue. Good night.
Say good night, Gracie.
All right.